Thanks for joining us here at Faith Assembly for our weekly podcast. We're so excited you're tuning in this week. To learn more about our church, you can visit us online at myfaithassembly.org. Join us live or connect with us on Facebook.
Good morning. Good morning. This is, I'll say round three, first, second, and now third service, and still sweating from first service, still sweating from second service, and I'm glad I had an extra shirt in the car to change in, because if not, I would have been looking like I jumped in the swimming pool from first and second services. But I'm so excited to be here today and to stand before you and to share my heart with you, what the Lord has laid up on my heart during my time of study. Man, there's a scripture that I love that kind of sets the tone of where we're going this morning. And Psalms 118 and 24 says that this is the day that the Lord has made, and that we shall rejoice and be glad in it. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm excited what God is doing in and through our church. But most of all, importantly, what he's doing in and through our pastor. And I'll say this until, you know, God calls me home or the rapture comes, whichever one comes before. But we have the best pastor in the world, in my opinion. I thought y'all was going to give a round of applause on that. And nobody paid me to say that. You know, nobody threw nothing underneath the table. Come on, I know how people are sometimes. Somebody must have paid them. No, ain't nobody paid me to say that. I'm saying that because he lives what he preaches and he teaches. And, you know, he's the same person when you see him, not just in church, but if you see him out in the restaurant, you see him in the store, he's the same person. He's a man of integrity, a man after God's own heart. And I always tease him all the time. You know, I always tell him, say, hey, Pastor, when I grow up, I want to be just like you when I grow up. And he's a great man to look up to, because God definitely has his hand upon him. And so we salute him. We honor him in his absence and his wife. And Pastor Mike, man, I there's not a lot. I mean, I could say a whole lot about Pastor Mike, but just thank you so much for you and your wife, what you guys are doing in kids' church over in the youth building. Come on, y'all, give it up. Let me tell you, they putting up with our children. Can I get a witness? I got one, and I already know how one could be. But when you're dealing with 60, 70, 80, 100-some kids at a time, come on, y'all. We got to give it up. We Faith Assembly is the place to be. And I'm not saying that to brag or to boast, but I'm doing bragging, boasting in the Lord what God is doing here, and to the staff and to the leadership of this church. I'm just excited, man. I really am. I'm a passionate guy. So I'll sweat. You'll see me wipe my face. I may talk a little fast, but I'm just passionate about what I do. But I do believe in encouraging people. Amen. Let me say that one more time. Woo! I believe in encouraging people. Yes. It makes no sense to hang around negative people all the time. Amen. You're not going to get nowhere in life or nowhere in your walk with Christ. John Gordon, who writes character development books, and he's a phenomenal man of God. He said, you'd never want to surround yourself in life with energy vampires. If you sick, why you want to hang around sick people? If you broke, why you want to hang around broke people? If you down, why you want to hang around with down people? Come on, y'all, talk to me. You want to be around some people that can speak life into you, that can encourage you, that can uplift you, that can let you know that, hey, that with God, all things are possible to him that believe. Can I get a witness, somebody? I'm going to tell you, like I told first and second service, that if you talk back to me, we'll be done before you can spell Mississippi backwards. But if y'all quiet as a church mouse, we're going to be here all day, and your Sunday dinner on your stove going to get cold. Come on, somebody. But I'm excited. And a couple of months ago, man, the Lord allowed me to. Oh, before I go there, let's give it up for the worship team this morning. Yeah. Yeah. Let's give it up. I'm still waiting for my audition. You know, my wife ain't sent the audition papers, the email yet. So I'm waiting. I thought she was going to stay on the keys, and we could have been like BB and CC Winans for a little bit, but she chunked deuce and got up out of here. So, but no, singing is not my gift. I'm just teasing you guys. Singing is not my gift. And now if I'm in the car, oh, yeah, you better watch out, man. I got a little Luther Vandross in me, man, you know. So I got a little Kirk Franklin, all those people. They like, who is Luther Vandross? He sung old school soul. It was good for the soul. It was good for the soul. That's what we grew up on, man. And but I'm excited. I'm excited about what God is doing here through in and through our church. But a couple of months ago, I was blessed to be a part of an amazing project, Impact of Influence, to serve as a co-author. And the book went best-selling 12 different categories. And one of my category, my chapters, I should say, went bestseller. So with that, I became a best-selling author. And I'm not saying that to brag or to boast. I'm saying that because I was fearful. I didn't want to do it at first, but because of my community, my circle, they pushed me and said, "Hey, there's more in you than just preaching and encouraging the coaches and the athletes. Believe that there's an author in you." And so I'm just speaking that over somebody today. Amen. God did not give you the spirit of fear. Don't let your insecurities keep you from what God has in store for you. And a lot of us, you know, it ain't God holding up our blessing. Lord, I'm getting into my message already. It ain't God holding up our blessing. Sometimes we can hold our own self back sometimes. God had already provided and made the way. God said, "Hey, I just need you to walk it out because I'm already going before you. You just got to catch up with me." Y'all catch that on your way home. But I was blessed to be a part of the project. And I'm not one of those preachers that hound people that you got to buy my product, you got to buy this, you got to do that. Look, if the Lord touches your heart to purchase the product, I am grateful. But if you do not, continue to pray for me, okay? Amen. That's all I ask, because prayer to me is worth way more than money. Because, you know, I came in the world without it, and I'm going to leave without it one day. So it's God's to begin with, right? So if you purchase it, appreciate you. But I do feel in my spirit that if somebody in here that want to purchase 1,000 books, all right, 10,000 in the back. I heard it in the back. 10,000 in the back. Man, I love y'all so much. But Faith, let me just tell you from the bottom of my heart, and life is so short, we don't know when God's going to call us home or when the rapture is going to come. But it's evident, you know, all you got to do is turn on, well, you ain't got to turn on TV. Just look outside the door. It's evident that we're living in perilous times, the last days. But on behalf of my family and I just want to just tell you guys how much we love and we appreciate you guys and how you have embraced us as family. And you guys call us family, but where I come from in Texas, we call family kinfolk. Anybody calling you? Okay, y'all, never mind. I tried. That was a goose egg right there. I'm surprised nobody threw tomatoes or lettuce up on the stage. But I am excited about what God is doing in and through our church. Let's keep praying for our pastor. Yes, amen. Let's keep praying for the leadership of our church. God has great things for our church, and they're navigating through trying to find the best option. So let's not be critical. Let me say it again. Let's not be critical. If you give an opinion, let it be out of love. Y'all not feeling me this morning. You know how some people be, "Well, I think you need..." No. What does God have to say? What does God have? And the Bible says that whatever we do, we ought to do it out of love. Point blank. God said it, I didn't. So, hey, it's all God. But there's a word from the Lord this morning, and I'm excited about it. If you stand with me this morning, it'll be up on our screen or the YouVersion app. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. How many of you are excited to be in the house of God this morning? Amen. I believe that when you come into the house of God, there ought to be a praise on your lips and thanksgiving in your heart. A lot of people are like, "Well, man, I ain't got nothing to be thankful." You don't know what's on. Well, you alive. Inhale, exhale. You breathing on your own. You got the activity of your limbs. You able to drive yourself here this morning. You able to brush your own teeth. Sometimes we look at big blessings as houses, cars, big bank accounts, sitting up in the suite watching the Steelers game. No, I didn't say the other team down south because I don't want y'all to assassinate me this morning. I've learned when you come to this part, I'm going to just leave it like that. I don't want, But I learned when you come into the house of God, nobody should have to pump or pry you to praise God. It starts at the house. You need to turn on your worship music, get in your word. And that way when you come to church, "Well, I didn't get nothing." That's because you didn't bring nothing. I ain't getting on nobody trying to throw shade. I'm just keeping it real this morning. A lot of times we like, "Well, I didn't get nothing from the preacher. They didn't sing my song." It ain't your song. God spoke to the writer to put pen to the paper to write the hymn and the word. It ain't yours. It's God. When did we? I'm all. Can I just say this one time? When did we start making God stuff our stuff? I've learned in God we trust. In God we trust. In God we trust. March, let me go on before y'all be like, Pastor, don't have him back on stage no more. Mark chapter 5. I don't know why I said chapter 4. Mark chapter 5. My prayer this morning is that you will have an open heart, an open mind to receive what it is that God has for you this morning. And one thing I've learned in ministry is that God has given all of us different styles of preaching and teaching. I thank God for how Pastor Lunana speaks, teaches, and preaches. I thank God for how Pastor Jason teaches and preaches. But I've learned in life, man, that you have to be who God has called you to be. And so, man, if you hear a little joke, if you hear a little laughter, it's because I'm just trying to encourage you. And I believe that the Bible says that we ought to do everything in decency and order. And so I believe that we can have some good laughter and still keep Christ the main attraction, right?
Amen.
Amen. So no sense of us coming to church, you know, and just, you know, you getting all this good singing, all this good preaching, and people greeting you at the door in the park. How about the greeters? When you pull up, man, they were just cheesing, showing all their teeth and everything. I'm like, let me get into this word, y'all. I feel like Pastor Tim this morning. Mark chapter 5. It's 11:30, y'all. As Pastor Tim always said, it's 11:30. You don't know what you're going to get. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse number 25. Reading from the NLT version. It says, a woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. Now, let me just stop right there. I believe that we should not take the Bible out of context. The word of God is the word of God. We add nothing to it or take nothing from it. But I want you guys to come along with me on a ride this morning. God is in the driver's seat. I'm in the passenger, and you guys are in the back seat rolling with us. And you know how when you're on those road trips, somebody always got the good snacks and stuff, right? And so just ride with me this morning. What I want you to do, I want you to picture yourself in this place this morning, okay? Picture yourself in this situation, because all of us have found ourselves in wilderness seasons of our life where we're asking and we're believing God for breakthrough, for miracle. We're asking God to set us free, to deliver us from certain things. So don't look down at this woman who suffered from 12 long years when you are a sinner saved by God's grace, okay? All right, just put yourself in this place. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors, and over the years, she spent everything she had to pay them. That's something, how you spend everything you got and you still don't get better. Something ain't right. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus. Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
So she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I'll be made whole. Now, that's some kind of faith right there. When you ain't even touched, you ain't even received a miracle yet, you ain't even received a breakthrough yet, and you said, you even think in your mind, say, hey, if I can just touch. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's why we're to take those thoughts captive. For she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So she turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my robe? Y'all, this is Jesus asking the question, and he knows everything. He sees everything. And he's asking, who touched me? Put a pen right there. We'll come back to that. His disciples said to him, look at this crowd pressing around you. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, daughter, your faith made you well. Or I like the King James Version said, has made you whole. Go in peace. Here's the shouting part. Your suffering, your trials, your tribulations are over. Amen. For a few moments I have this morning, I want to come from the subject, from the thought this morning. Frustrated, but I still believe. Look at somebody and say, frustrated. Come on, y'all. You can talk to them. Come on. I've seen y'all interact with each other out in the lobby. Come on, repeat after me. Frustrated, but I still believe. Okay, now if the Steelers just won the Super Bowl, the Penguins won the Stanley Cup Finals, and the Pirates won the World Series, I believe you can shout, you know, louder than them. Frustrated, but I still believe. Father, we thank you today because it's all because of Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ, for his life, for his death, for his resurrection, for his soon return. Well, Father God, as we wait on the return of Christ, Lord, there's still more work for us to do, that the gospel still has to go forward, that there are lives to be saved, delivered, and set free. Healing still has to take place. Deliverance still has to take place. That you are still wanting to perform miracles, signs, and wonders in and through our life. Lord, thank you so much for the faith family this morning. Thank you for their hearts, for their willingness to serve, for their love that flows from heart to heart this morning, Lord. And Lord, I pray for the ones who are here, for the ones who had the desire to be here this morning but couldn't make it this morning. Father, I pray that you would touch them right where they are because, Lord, you know everything about us, Lord. Nothing catches you by surprise. And so, Lord, we thank you this morning for all that you're doing in and through our lives. And, Lord, we can't say nothing but to God be the glory for all the great things that he's done and what he's doing and what he's going to do in our lives. Because you're not done with us, Father God. This is just a comma in the story. This is not a period. There's more to write in our story because we know that you have more in store for us. And, Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that we can store this message in our spirit because there's going to come a day and a time when the enemy is going to come knocking at our door. And Father God, we need your word. When everything else is in this world is going chaotic and crazy, your word is still true. Yes. It doesn't need our help. But yet, Lord, you use sinners such as us that are saved by grace, Lord, to carry this great gospel to every man, woman, boy, and girl, to let them know that Jesus is alive, that he is well, and that he is seated at the right hand of the Father, and that he's making intercession on our behalf. Now, Father, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable and pleasing in my sight, in your sight, let me say. Oh, Lord God, my strength and my redeemer. Everyone said amen?
Amen.
Amen. Before you take your seat, tell somebody, it's good to see you. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, man. Tell somebody else again. Tell them it's good to see you. It's good to see you. It's good to see you. The Bible says, oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in the spirit of unity. Frustrated, but I still believe. Anybody ever been frustrated before? You don't have to raise your hands. Okay, go ahead. Frustrated where to the max where you can almost feel like you're ready to give up. Frustrated to the max where you're confusing your mind and the weight of this walk with Christ is weighing so heavy upon you. Can I tell you something? I believe that there's one gospel this morning, and I know there's all kind of gospels and different things going around, and you know people talk about, well, you know, so prosperity gospel. No, it's one gospel. It's one gospel. You know, man, some gospels will declare that, hey, you'll never be sick. You'll never go through anything. You'll never have any sufferings in your life. That is a lie, because the Bible says that the godly shall suffer persecution. But Jesus says to be of good cheer because I've already overcame these things, because greater is he that is within you than he that is within the world. So let me just tell you something, man, that even though today that everything might be going great, grand, and colossal for you, but let me just tell you something. Sometimes God doesn't just always have us on the mountaintops of life. That sometimes God carries us through the valleys of life. And notice I said, you don't stay in the valley, but he carries us through the valley. You know, Psalms 23 records to us says that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why we don't fear? Because the Bible says in Timothy that God has not given us, stay with me, y'all, I'm going somewhere, has not given us a spirit of fear. So in other words, fear is a spirit that is not from God because God did not give us a spirit of fear. That's what the Bible says. But he's given us power, love, and sound mind. And there's going to come times in our life when you don't know your ups from your downs. You don't know the mountaintops from the valleys experience. You don't know your right from your left. You may feel confused, but let me tell you something. The Bible says that God is not the author of confusion. So I've learned in those moments when you feel confused, when you feel discombobulated, when you just feel like your mind is all over the place, maybe that's the time for you to stop and pray. Can I get a witness this morning? The Bible teaches, and I'm just telling y'all what the Bible says this morning. The Bible says that men are to always pray. So if the Bible says that we should pray, then I believe if we are Christians, if we are followers of Jesus, then we need to follow the roadmap that's going to lead us to heaven. The Bible says we're to always pray. And the Bible also says that the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. And then the Bible also teaches us, it says that we ought to pray without ceasing. So if the Bible says that we are to always be praying, then that means that I shouldn't wait till Sunday morning to whisper up a prayer to God. I shouldn't have to wait until the praise team tells me to lift my hands and tell him, thank you, Jesus. I shouldn't wait to have Pastor Jason or Pastor Tim or Pastor Mike or whoever is preaching the word of God to shout hallelujah. But when you think back and look back over your life, and when you see how far God has brought you from, and we used to sing a song while I came from, it was an old choir church song that would say, look at me. That I am a testimony that I didn't make it here on my own. I'm not standing here on my own. But it was Jesus who gave me this opportunity. Now, look at me. I'm a testimony. Is that somebody's testimony today that said, you know, after all that I've been through, the trials and tribulations that I faced, the sufferings that I faced in my life, it was nobody but Jesus that got me through. Through my stress, through my trials, through my ups and my downs, through my marriage being on the rocks, through my kids just going crazy, doing all kind of things that I know that I didn't raise them to do. It was nobody but Jesus that kept you. Amen. Let me tell you something. It wasn't a 10-step program. I thank God for those things that he has resources in place to help us. But it wasn't that. It was Jesus. You want to know why it was Jesus? Because he loved you. And John 3:16 records to us, it said that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him, that's that word again, believe, shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. Now, I don't want to live in hell and die and go to hell again. Y'all missed that. You'll catch you on your way home. In other words, this world that we're in is not our home. But the church I grew up, the old school deacon, when he was praying, he said, we're just pilgrims passing through this barren land. And so I just want to encourage somebody in here this morning to don't always put your focus and your focus and your emphasis and all of your attention on the things of this world, because the Bible said the world will fail you, man will fail you. But he said to put all your hope, all your trust, all your joy. He said to put everything, all of your trust in the Lord. Can I give you Bible this morning? Because this is the Bible church. Proverbs 3 declares to us, it says, to trust in the Lord with all of our hearts and to lean not to thy own understanding, but all thy ways we are to what? And he shall what? So can I tell you something? We got to quit helping God do his work. In other words, let God be God. You be you. Because God is powerful. He can handle situations better than we can. Because watch this. If we were to take care of our enemies, if we were to go retaliate against the people who came against us, our enemies, folks on our job, people in our families. Uh-oh. Let me. Can I stay right there for a few minutes? We all have that one person in our family that we like, Lord, they need help. They need prayer. They need deliverance. But can I tell you something this morning? You need prayer and help and deliverance too. Now, I'm not making fun of nobody. I'm just telling it like it is this morning. But we should always do everything out of love. And it's best to let God handle our situations. Why should we let God handle our situation? Because God don't leave fingerprints. God don't leave clues on the scene. God can handle your enemies better than you can. That's why he says in his word that vengeance is mine, said the Lord. Yes. And he also says that I will make your enemies your footstools. Y'all missed your shouting part right there. Because some of you are crying. Some of you are wondering. Some of you are stressing yourself out about folks on your job, people on your job, all these other kind of things in this world that are stressing you out. But can I tell you something? Get your eyes off the situation and put your focus and attention back on Jesus Christ. Psalms 121 and 1 declares to us, it says that, for we should lift our eyes unto the hills from which cometh thy help, knowing that all of our help comes from the Lord who makes heaven and earth. So, in other words, there's no sense of believers walking around with our heads down, Amen. Moping, groaning, complaining. Come on, somebody, help me out this morning. Lift up your heads. That's what the Bible says in Psalms. O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. And can I tell you something more? This going to help somebody out. Or either you. Can I tell you something? CNN is not your God. Fox ain't your God. Y'all might tell Pastor Jason, no, never let him get back up there again. MSNBC is not your God. Facebook ain't your God. Instagram ain't your God. Twitter ain't your God. But can I tell you something? We put so much focus and emphasis. And yeah, I thank God for those things. But let me tell you something. That's not where our focus is supposed to be. We put so much focus and emphasis upon what the world is doing versus saying, hey, this is what the Bible says is we're supposed to be doing. And let me tell you something. Everybody's wondering, hey, what's going to happen? What's going on? If you read your Bible, the Bible says that in the last days there'll be perilous times. There'll be wars and rumors of wars, that there'll be families against families, and all these things will happen. But he says to look up. Come on, somebody, help me out this morning. Don't let me preach all by myself this morning. But we are to look up because soon the Son of Man shall appear. But can I tell you something? That before Jesus comes back, because sometimes we, yes, I thank God for that, but we put so much focus and attention on that, but we forget that the gospel still has to go forward. That there's still people that need to be saved, that there's still people that need to be delivered, there's still people that need to be healed, that need to be set free, that are walking around in bondage, because the Bible says that whom the Son sets free. Lord have mercy, I feel like I'm a shouting here this morning. If I jump down and hurt myself, Dr. Hogan, just come help me out, brother. The Bible says whom the Son sets free is free in. So there's no sense of us walking around carrying yokes and bondage and all these things in this world. No. God said, I want you to walk in your freedom. And that's something I'm speaking over this house this morning, over each and every person that's under the sound of my voice this morning, that this week, and not just this week, but today, right now, I'm praying that God will destroy the yokes, that you will be delivered, that you will be set free, that son that you've been praying for, that daughter that you've been praying for, that's been out in the world and you're ready for them to come back into the ark of safety. I believe and speak by faith that it shall come to pass, just like the woman who had the issue of blood that was going along for 12 long years, but the Bible says when she touched Jesus, the Bible said immediately her situation came to an halt. And I'm wondering this morning, Lord, I'm wondering this morning if there's some radical saints in here this morning that are believing enough to say, hey, you know what, God? If you did it for me, you can do it for them. If you save me, you can save my brother. Can I get a witness in here this morning that somebody can testify that can't nobody do me like Jesus? And even though you have found yourself in a wilderness situation, can I tell you something? That's not the end of your story. Don't you dare. Don't you dare dig a hole and stay there. No. If you're going to do anything, man, you put that dirt back in that ground and you use that to step on and you keep on walking. You keep on being who God has called you to be. You keep coming to church. You keep serving the Lord. You continue to be a faithful tither, because watch this. Don't let your problems keep you from the Lord, but let your problems push you closer to the Lord. And let them push you to the church. That's why the Bible says that when we enter into his gates with thanksgiving, enter into his courts with praise, to be thankful unto him and to bless his holy name. Why do we praise his holy name? Because God woke us up this morning. Y'all missing it this morning. Y'all thought I was going to say that God was going to drop $1 million in your lap. No, I ain't one of them preachers. I just got to tell you like it is. God woke you up this morning. And as my grandma would say, he started me on my way. He gave me the activity of my limbs. He breathed breath into my body. I'm able to brush my own teeth. I'm able to brush my own hair. I'm able to put my own clothes on. And so sometimes when we're going through in those wilderness situations, we begin to forget about the simple and small blessings. Lord, I may not have the car that I want to have right now, but Lord, I thank you for what I got right now. I may have to slide up under and tap the start in order for it to start, but Lord, I thank you. I'm just telling you from experience, y'all. Ain't no need of me be fronting and all those things like that. But I'm just telling somebody this morning, don't let your problems keep you from coming to church. Amen. And don't let your problems and your circumstances keep you from praying. Amen. The Bible says, seek the Lord while he may be found. So this morning in our text, and as I hurry up and go through this text, y'all, the Bible said that there was a woman who had been suffering with the illness for 12 long, 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 long years. She spent everything that she had. Watch this. Isn't it something how you can be walking with God and doing everything that he asks you to do, and before things get better, it gets worse? I'm talking to some real people in here this morning that can testify this morning, that's gone through some things, that's experienced some things in your walk with Christ, and you're like, hey, man, I accepted Jesus. Hey, man, everything's going to be good. No, no, no. Let me tell you something. Trials will come. Tribulations will come. You'll lose friends. Family members may not always understand your assignment, but I guarantee you that if you stick with Jesus, if you hang with him, and we used to sing a song back in the old school church that said, hold to his hand, God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes. Y'all know what I'm talking. Y'all know that song? Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. So I'm asking you this morning, who are you doing life with? What are those distractions in your life that are keeping you from getting closer to him? Because sometimes Jesus is right there where we can grab him. And then there's sometimes we're so far from him that it seems like he's so far away. So in between that gap, what's keeping you from getting closer to Jesus? What's stopping you from reading your Bible? What's stopping you from getting in the point group? See how I threw that line in there? What's keeping you from serving in the house of God? Well, you know, I'm not that gifted and I'm not that talented. Let me tell you something, man. I joined the serve team, helping out the media team. I am not a computer person, but I thank God for Nate, who took the time out to show me some things on Wednesday night. If you happen to see one slide jump or the other with the song lyrics, y'all just be patient with me. I'm trying my best. I'm trying, but you got to try. How will you ever know if you never try? Amen. You got to give forth effort. Now, I'm a living witness that if you would just take one step, that God will take the rest of the steps for you. Can I get a witness, somebody? That there's some people in here this morning that can say, hey, you know what? Hey, I was one of those people, man. I was scared. I was nervous. It's almost like this. Let me wipe my face real quick. It's almost like this. Is that Jesus is right there in the middle of the section right there. And he said, hey, come on. Jump. Come on out here. I've already gone before you. I've already made the way. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 1, he says, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you. So in other words, everything that you're going through, everything that you're faced with, the wilderness season, the things that you've been dealing with for years after years, God already knew about them. It might have caught you by surprise, but in the catch, God a surprise. Oh, can I just throw this in here too? That's some stuff that we said we weren't going to do no more. And we did it again. It may have caught us by surprise, but God's like, I already knew, and I paid the price for that. But it's almost like this. We're at the edge of this cliff. Y'all just stay with me. We're at the edge of this cliff, and God said, hey, just take one step. Well, God, you know, hey, man, you don't know what family I came from. God, I've been dealing with this issue for years after years after years. God, man, I deal with insecurities, man. Man, I deal with stress, and I deal with depression. Can I just tell you something this morning? That even though you're anointed, you still would deal with anxiety. Y'all don't want to, even though you saved, sanctified, scripture quoting, Bible toting, you still will face depression. But you need to pray. Amen. In those times when you feel like that, when you feel like the weight of the world is all on you, you need to give that to God. Amen. 1 Peter 5 and 7 declares to us that we should cast all of our cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. And any fisherman in the house? Nobody? Okay, I got one. Okay, a couple of fishermen in the house. Anybody know anything about casting anything? When you get ready to throw your bait out there to catch something, what do? I'm trying to tell you this morning, it's those things that are keeping you up late at night, the things that are causing you to cry, the things that are keeping you from God. Give it to him. Amen. Give it to him. Because watch this. He's a jealous God. And you want to know how it is? Can I give you a Bible? Because this is the Bible church. Exodus says, he said, I am a jealous God, and there should be no other gods before me. We can't make things an idol. So in other words, if there's anything that's keeping you from getting closer to him, to where you can reach him to receive everything that he has in store for your life, it's a distraction. You got quiet. I hope that mouse don't come out like it did Wednesday, because I'm going to run. What are those distractions in your life that are keeping you from getting closer to him? You don't have to answer out loud. Only you know. I have distractions in my life that I'm trying. But as you begin to get closer to the Lord, the enemy's going to come harder at you. But you got to pray. Sometimes you got to fast. Sometimes you got to stay in the word. Sometimes you got to get in a point group to where if you're not strong in a certain area, that somebody else, they can help you out. And that's why we are supposed to do life together. That's why you need people around you, a community around you that can help you to become everything that God has called you to be. But this woman, she said, you know what? Today is the last day.
Amen.
If I got some real people here that would say, some of the old saints used to say it like this, I'm tired and I'm sick and tired. Y'all remember how the old saints used to say back in the day, if you would go in the house or if you would go in their yard or something, they said, I'm tired, I'm sick and tired, I'm tired, I'm tired. And I believe there's some people today who's been carrying some things that's been weighing you down, that's been frustrating you, and it's just been driving you crazy. It's almost like this. It's almost like I can see it because I've been there before. You got the towel in your hand. You didn't already balled it up. You didn't already fold it and say, hey, you know what? I didn't have enough. And it seems like right before you get ready to throw the towel in, right before you get ready to give up, God begins to step in. And said, hey, I was always already there before the thing even began with. And God said, all I ever wanted you to do was to trust me. All I ever wanted you to do was to walk by faith and not by sight. He said, all I ever wanted you to do was trust me. So this woman said, you know what? Today is the last day. And watch this. I believe in protocol of the church. I believe in structure and order of church. The Bible says that we are to always do everything in decency and in order. I believe in all that. But this woman said, you know what? Today, I ain't worried about protocol, but I know who to call. She said, I can't wait for the praise team to get ready to sing. I can't wait for Pastor Jason to preach. I can't wait for them to do the altar call. She said, but today, I've made up in my mind that I'm leaving everything else behind and I'm following Jesus.
Amen.
How are you pursuing Jesus in your life? Are you chasing after him or are you running from him? That's my cue to wrap it up, y'all. Or they giving me my note to sing for this song. Last service, they scared me, y'all. I almost ran out of here. I didn't even know they was over there. As I wrap this up, stay with me here. She said, you know what? Today is the last day. Hey, man, I heard about Jesus. I seen what he did in other people's life, but I don't know if he can do it for me. You don't know my background. You don't know what I've been through. Stop making excuses and make adjustments.
Amen.
Stop making excuses, y'all. And I'm talking to all of us. We got to stop making excuses and make adjustments in our life. She touched him. She didn't hug him. She didn't give him a high five or a fist bump. But she thought in her mind, she made up in my mind. Let me tell you something. When you make up in your mind, for God I live, for God I die. Hey, you're God, you're more powerful than me. You can handle this better than I can. Ain't no sense of me carrying this and keep myself up late at night. Mm-mm. She said, today is the last day. She said, I'm going to press my way through the crowd. And I'm going to get to this Jesus. Has any of you ever been there before where you say, hey, you know what? I'm hungry for him. I'm thirsty for him. Today I'm leaving everything else behind. I got to leave friends behind. I might have to leave some family behind. They make fun of me. They may talk about me. Let me tell you something, y'all. Can I free you of something? Can I free you of something? People will talk about you whether you're dead or you're alive. But it's up to you to receive what they say about you. But if you know who you are in Christ, none of that stuff even matters. One of your greatest deliverance in your life will ever be. Thank God for being delivered from drugs, from alcohol, all those things, pornography, whatever it is. But let me tell you something, your greatest deliverance is when you are free from the opinion of people.
Amen.
Stop worrying about what people are saying about you. In matter of fact, give them something else to talk about. If they're talking about you, it must be letting you know you're doing something right. There was an old country song that said that. Must be doing something right. But she touched the hem of his garment. And watch this. The Bible said as soon as she touched his garment, as soon as she took that step of faith, she was made whole. Watch this. It was because of faith and obedience. What is God asking you to do? Or what has God asked you to do years ago that you're still sitting on? Maybe God has asked you to go to that family member and ask them for forgiveness. Maybe God is wanting to restore your marriage. Maybe God's wanting to restore that relationship between parent and child. I don't know what's going on your plate. But I'm here today to tell you that if you try Jesus, he'll make everything all right. Now, the outcome might not be the way you design it to be. Let me just hit it right there, because some of you be, oh, everything. No, the outcome may not come out the way you want it to be. But no matter what happens, he's still God. Why? Because he's sovereign. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He can be here, there, everywhere. He can do what he wants to do. But she said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Y'all, that is so powerful to me. What is he asking you to do today that you're sitting on? Well, man, hey, you know, I'm a little up in age. Hey, you know, I'm too young. Hey, you know, I don't have the right. No. Don't limit God. In other words, don't pick God in his box. You know how we try to do sometimes as Christians? We're like, okay, God, well, you just do this, and I'm going to do this. No. How are you going to put a great, big, grand? That's no word that can describe our God. How are you going to put God in a box? If you can trust a pilot on an airplane that you know nothing about to get you from Pittsburgh to Jamaica, wherever you want to go to, Orlando, if you can trust them to get you from point A to point B, and let me tell you something, I don't know how in the world them folks on them planes can sit there and go to sleep. They be over there reading their books, drinking their coffee, talking to them. I'm over there praying. As soon as I feel a little bump, I'm like, Lord, I guess it's my time to go. But we'll trust a pilot that we never met before. We'll trust somebody who's driving the Carnival or Royal Caribbean cruise ship. We'll trust a conductor on the train who's driving us through a dark tunnel. We don't know how we're going to come out. We'll trust them more than we trust God. But today, can we flip the script? Can we put more focus and more attention and more emphasis on trusting God and obeying God and stepping out on faith and trusting God versus in the things of this world? COVID-19 got the bow at the name of Jesus. Sickness has to bow at the name of Jesus. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have come new. So as we stand this afternoon, as they minister this song to you, I promise I won't come in on the chorus or nothing. As they minister this song to you today, if you said, hey, you know what, T, I've heard you talk about this Jesus, man. I've read about him, all this stuff. Yeah. But today, if you said, hey, enough is enough, I'm going to reach out and touch him for myself. My mama talked about it. My grandmother talked about it. My daddy talked about it. But today, you know what? I'm going to take the step of faith and trust in myself. You can do it today. You can do it right now. So as they sing the song, I want you to just close your eyes and just look back over your life, no matter what's on your plate right now, and just say, hey, Lord, you know what? If you did it before, you can do it again.
Shackled by a heavy burden, need the Lord of guilt and shame.
If anybody needs prayer, the altar is open for you this morning.
In the hand of Jesus touched me.
Part right here. Why? Because
oh,
he what?
He touched me.
Did he touch you this morning?
Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul.
Something happened.
And now I know.
I want to ask that you would just bow your heads and close your eyes. Because there's someone here today that says, hey, I've made up in my mind that I'm leaving the things in this world behind. You know what? Hey, you know, I'm going to try Jesus today. And today I'm going to take that step of faith. If you're in here this morning, this afternoon, say, hey, you know what? I'm ready to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of my life. If that's you, just raise your hand. Amen, 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 amen. I believe there's somebody else in here this morning that said, hey, you know what? I'm ready to take this step of faith. Nobody's going to laugh at you. Nobody's going to mock you. If anything, we're going to encourage you and pray for you and root you on. Everybody close your eyes. Pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, come on, y'all. Let's declare this thing. Dear Jesus, thank you. I love you. Thank you for dying for me. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you came, that you died, that you were buried, and that you rose on the third day. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. My past is erased. I am a new creature in you. You have a great plan in store for my life. And I love you. Hey, if you prayed that prayer this morning, let's give those a big round of applause and welcome them to the household of faith.